WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The recent film Backbeat, which is now on video, told the story of Stu Sutcliffe, who played bass with the Beatles before they made it big. He died at the age of 21. A rock and roll historian, Ed Ward, says that if Stu Sutcliffe had lived, the musician and painter might have become a sort of artistic director of the band.
Well, she was just 17, you know what I mean, and the way she looked was way beyond compare. So how could I dance with another? Oh, and I saw her standing there.
Highton is a small town that over the years has been engulfed by Liverpool's sprawl, which is to say that unless you're paying attention, you don't know when you're out of one and in the other. In this respect, it's like Woolton, where John Lennon grew up. And, like Woolton, Highton has a Beatles landmark. Unlike Woolton, though, it's not on the official tour, because in Highton Cemetery lies the body of the forgotten Beatle, Stu Sutcliffe. Stu Sutcliffe was born in 1940, just 4 months before John Lennon, and the two men met at Liverpool Art College. It was only natural. Sutcliffe was very much the beatnik, and unlike most of his fellow students, was passionately involved with ideas. He was an omnivorous reader and a person with a genuine love for art. He also dressed oddly and had a sort of James Dean aura about him, and if he hadn't been such a brilliant painter, his friends remember, he would have been expelled. He and John soon became inseparable, and when one of Stu's paintings sold for £65, he ran out and bought a bass so he could join John's group. As you can hear, if indeed that's Stu on that 1961 instrumental Cry for a Shadow, his bass playing was rough but serviceable, and he probably learned all he knew from John, who more or less idolized him. But he was good enough to stick with the band when they got their big break and went to Hamburg in 1960. There, they shared the stage at the Kaiserkeller with another Liverpool group, Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, playing lots of foot-stomping music to see which band would send a member through the rotten stage first. Rory won.
Hey, all you women, don't come around unless you weigh around 400 pounds. And away from home, I don't dig shy bones. And you've got to be all right with me because of the doctors.
The Beatles liked Rory's drummer, Richie Starkey, who called himself Ringo Starr, and in fact preferred him to Pete Best, their own drummer, but they were in no shape to lure him away. One day an artist named Klaus Voormann came to the Kaiserkeller to check out the scene and was mesmerized by the Beatles. He dragged his protesting girlfriend, Astrid Kircher, down there a few days later, and she fell in love with Stu Sutcliffe at first sight. She broke up with Klaus, very amicably it seems, and was soon to be found around the Beatles, taking the first photographs of them and fixing their hair in the sort of style the German students wore, a style that soon became the band's trademark. She also whipped up some leather clothes for them to wear on stage, which gave them a distinctive look.
Just cast an eye in her direction.
went back and forth between Hamburg and Liverpool, but in 1961 he knew he had to make a choice. Paul McCartney had never liked him and just knew he could play bass better than Stu. Stu wanted to hang out with the Exes, short for existentialists, the crowd Astrid was with, and before long he and Astrid were engaged. He also found out that the Liverpool Art College wouldn't let him back in, since he was suspected of stealing an amplifier from them, a theft that was almost certainly Lennon's work. But Eduardo Paolozzi at Hamburg State Art College thought Stu's canvases were brilliant and got him a scholarship. But there was a problem. Stu was getting blinding headaches and had collapsed several times at school. He refused treatment and had periods when all went well. As April 1962 rolled around, he was looking forward to the Beatles' return to play the Star Club on the 13th. On April 10th, Astrid was working in her darkroom when her mother called to say that Stu was unconscious. She rushed to his side, but he died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, victim of a brain tumor that may have started when some thugs kicked him in the head after an early Beatles gig. Ironically, Stu's mother flew to Germany on the same plane that carried George Harrison and the band's manager, Brian Epstein, but at the airport they got in two separate cars. Hers went to the Kirschers' house in the suburb of Altona to claim her son's body. Theirs went to the Star Club, where they were due to go on in a few hours, the beginning of a road that would lead them to the top.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He now lives in Germany. We're featuring his profiles throughout the week. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.